Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz. This year's women's final on the U.S. Open was rich with drama, and not just from the battle between 23-time Grand Slam champion Serena Williams and the upstart who bested her, 20-year-old Naomi Osaka. No, the tensest moments happened at the sidebar, when Williams confronted the umpire about a series of escalating penalties that cost her a point, and then a game, and now $17,000 in fines. Here Serena confronts the umpire during the match.
You owe me an apology. I have never cheated in my life. I have a daughter and I stand what's right for her. I've never cheated. And you owe me an apology.
Some of the infractions seemed clear-cut, like when Williams smashed her racket. Calling the umpire a thief was more a judgment call. But what really seemed to unnerve Williams was the charge that she had cheated by receiving coaching during the match. Also, the feeling that a man, behaving the same way, would not have gotten the same treatment.
I've seen other men call other umpires several things, and I'm here fighting for women's rights and for women's equality and for all kinds of stuff. And for me to say thief and for him to take a game, it made me feel like it was a sexist remark.
The Women's Tennis Association has called for equal treatment of players and to amend the rules to allow on-court coaching. But is there a disciplined double standard in tennis and beyond? Joining me now from New York is Soraya Nadia McDonald. She's a culture critic for The Undefeated. Her latest piece is titled, Serena Williams is Owed an Apology for Much More Than a Penalty. Hello, Soraya.
Hello.
Also with me in studio is Michael Jeffries. He's an associate professor of American Studies at Wellesley College. Hi, Michael.
Hi there.
Listeners, you can join us too. We want to hear from you on this. Are you surprised by Serena's treatment at the U.S. Open? Were you surprised by her behavior? Do you feel women in sports and in society are punished more harshly than their male counterparts? Are you surprised she didn't bring up race or that more people are talking about gender than race? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us tweets at Radio Boston. Soraya, let's start with you. You were there this weekend, I gather.
Yes.
Can you give us a sense for what it was like to watch this courtside?
So what's very strange about being in the stadium as this is going on, what the U.S. Open does is they provide these little earpieces so that you can hear the play-by-play if you choose to while the match is going on. And it was raining in New York this weekend, and so the roof was up on Arthur Ashe Stadium, which has a significant impact on the acoustics there. It definitely makes the roars of the crowd significantly louder. And so as this is starting to go on, you know, Serena's the American. She is the hometown favorite. This crowd just starts roaring.
Because they could sense that something was going – were they able to follow?
Yes, because even if you couldn't hear what Serena was saying on the court, you could definitely see by her body language that she was unhappy about something. And so you could definitely sense that, you know, she's got the crowd behind her, but you see her face, you see that pointed finger, you know something's not right.
And how unusual is it, Soraya? I mean, how often are there violations in tennis? Violations that add up to penalty points, penalty games, defaults. Is it unusual? Is it more common than people realize?
Yes, I would say it's definitely pretty common for tempers to flare, especially in high-stakes games like finals of Grand Slams. And in particular, you know, there have been other players, male players, who have, in fact, confronted Carlos Ramos, the same chair umpire that Serena confronted, without ever losing a game. you know, this has happened with there's an entire thread that kind of details all of the male players that have in one way or another sort of gotten in Ramos's face. There's Novak Djokovic.
Ramos, specifically this umpire, you're saying,
this
not just to have behaved this way in general, but with this particular umpire.
Yeah. So, you know, there's Novak Djokovic at the French Open. There's Nick Kyrgios, Andy Murray. the men have not faced penalties this severely. But, you know, we've seen men who get really emotional about these games. all the time and who have smashed rackets. You know, I mean, John McEnroe was sort of notorious when it comes to this. But so, there's an issue, I think, because of the sort of double standard when it comes to behavior, and particularly with tennis, which is very effete, very
it's a very,
you know,
proper,
very civilized,
a very proper set of rules, right? Oh, let me get. I want to bring Michael into the conversation. You've also been keeping up with all of this. What did you make of how Serena was treated on the court?
Well, she was treated unfairly. That's the first thing that needs to be said. Soraya just detailed this sort of behavior from players who were caught up in the heat of the moment of competition. It's not rare at all. But what is rare is the way that the umpire used his discretion in this case. And he used his discretion to penalize the sport's best player. And that was one of my primary reactions to this is we're talking about racism and sexism directed against Serena yet again instead of her accomplishments on the court. And it's a pattern that tennis can't seem to rid itself of. It keeps getting caught up in these controversies because of the way it treats the best player in its history. No other sport would undermine itself the way that tennis is.
You're thinking, well, it was just a few weeks ago there was a controversy about her attire.
Yes,
at the French
we can't
Open.
Even go mm-hmm. three, 4 weeks without this sort of controversy swirling around Serena.
So I just want to invite listeners again to say, please join us. This is Join the Conversation. We want to hear from you on this. Do you think people are missing the big picture? Do you think tennis is missing the important picture? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. I want to add a number of other tennis players were quick to defend Serena. Here's Billie Jean King, a noted tennis player. When a woman is emotional, she's hysterical and she's penalized for it. That she wrote, when a man does the same, he's outspoken and there are no repercussions. Thank you, Serena Williams, for calling out this double standard. Here's James Blake, a retired professional player. He tweeted, I'll admit that I've said worse and not gotten penalized. And I've also been given a soft warning by the ump where they'll tell you to knock it off or I'll give you a violation. So, I mean, the interesting thing about Blake's comment is that it gives a sense that this isn't really all that rigid. It's not that every time you break a racket or every time you say something inappropriate, you will automatically get a penalty and it's always enforced. No, there is this discretion. Michael, you mentioned the discretion.
Yeah, and I just can't understand why it is that we see it in tennis and we continue to hear this narrative, well, you broke the rules, you pay a price. That line has already been disproven several times over. So we need to be talking about why discretion is really what's driving this issue. And when you want to know why, you have to start understanding stereotypes of womanhood as overly emotional, as Billie Jean King said, and in particular, stereotypes of black womanhood as aggressive and threatening.
I want to go to the calls. We've got some fascinating calls. First from Nawal in Shrewsbury. Nawal, what have you got to say?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I don't want to judge anything over here because I'm not, you know, at that level of a judge. But I think the point I want to make is that the whole world and, you know, our kids are looking at these professionals, these stars, as their role models. And behavior, I think, is extremely important for such role models to portray to the world that they're, you know, while they've accomplished tremendous things in their professional fields, behavior also is a part that should be portrayed. So just because men are showing bad behavior on the court and getting away with it isn't an excuse for a woman to do the same thing. Now, I'm not saying a man is a, you know, the gender issue aside, it could be that, but two wrongs don't make a right.
So this is a good
something bad. I don't want to do that. You know, I shouldn't get that either. So,
Noel makes this point. I mean, maybe it's too easy on Serena to say, well, lots of men have gotten away with equally bad behavior, therefore she should. Soraya, what do you think?
So I don't think it's necessarily as clear-cut as that, and this is why. Because this is not sort of behavior that is typical of Serena. And I would say that, you know, there's a long history that's basically been leading up to this. Serena has been playing professional tennis for about 23 years. And in that entire time, she has been subject to the sort of disrespect that other white players and other male players have not. You know, from the very moment that she was scheduled to play her sister Venus at Indian Wells, when the animosity that they faced was so bad that they basically boycotted that venue for years and years. She has faced doubts about, you know, her honesty. She's drug tested more than almost any player in the sport, right? She has been criticized by authorities within the sport, even, you know, former players, even people who run tournaments, because they don't like what she wears or they don't like her body. They don't like the fact that that she doesn't look like the typical white female tennis player, tall, long legs, very lithe, skinny, blonde, right? She's muscular. She's, you know, she's a power hitter. She's unafraid to use that power. And so there's this perception of her that she's bullying, right? That she's, you know, this hulking person who's just sort of smacking these other girls around, and she's big, mean Serena.
And so that's sort of, in some ways,
this weekend's events.
She's been dealing with this
for a really long time.
Has been building up to moments like this. In fact, there have been lots along the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the thing is, you know, role models are still human beings. You know, they still have feelings. And this, you know, especially when it comes to accusations that she's too mannish. You know, Serena has expressed, you know, that's something that's hurtful to her. You know, she did an interview with the New York Times a few years ago where she basically admitted that she doesn't even lift weights anymore because she got so self-conscious about her body.
So I just want to get to another caller, because I mean, well, let's just get to Valerie from Hyde Park. Valerie, do you want to got something to add? We'd love to hear from you.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was watching the match, and I was rooting for Osaka. I thought Serena was playing well, but I thought that Osaka was playing equally well. And what really bothered me the most was that, as I understand it, there's a code of discipline or a code of conduct in tennis, and that there's discretion on the part of the line judge. In each instance where he had the option to, you know, issue a warning or a penalty, he went right to the penalty each time. And I didn't see, other than the racket breaking, I didn't see anything disrespectful or untoward in Serena's behavior. But what really seemed to happen to me was that this line judge inserted himself so much into this competition that it became about him. And I felt like he robbed Osaka of her victory. She won fair and square. And, I mean, seeing her pulling her visor down and in tears at the award ceremony, it was just heartbreaking to me.
Yeah,
it became all about him and his calls, and I felt like everybody lost. It looked like everybody was out there and, you know, being recognized, and nobody wanted to be there. Nobody wanted to claim the victory. Here's this poor woman who's trained for her entire 20 years of her life, and she won fair and square. And I felt like she had that taken from her.
Oh, thanks so much, Valerie. I mean, it is true that we are here the day or 2 days after talking about Serena Williams, not talking about the player who actually won the day. We're also talking about the umpire who inserted himself into this match. Michael, does it? Yeah. What do you make of
that? What I mean about the sport sort of shooting itself in the foot here. I mean, there's no reason. This is a self-made controversy. There's no reason that we should be talking about this. The caller is right. It does rob Osaka of the celebration that she deserves. And look, if you want to talk about Serena being a role model, the way she has handled this whole thing and tried to get our attention back on the right things. In addition to the sexism, during the award ceremony on the court, she embraces Osaka and tries to lift her up and has spoken about her own conduct and her willingness to speak out about this as something that she's doing not just for her own sake and the sake of her career, but for the sake of all the women who come after her. So if you don't like every single move that she makes on the court, you should still be able to look at the total impact of her career and the way she carries herself, especially in moments like this when she's being treated unfairly. And the uncommon grace that she exudes during these moments is really something to behold. She's as much of a role model as any of us could hope for in a professional athlete.
Soraya, would you want to say something?
Sure. I was going to say, I think there's a really special relationship at play with Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams. You know, she's spoken about her before, a couple of years ago, before she was really on anyone's radar except for sort of people who are just tennis mad.
Before she was.
Yes. And she said, oh, man, this girl is dangerous, you know. And Naomi Osaka has been very, very clear about how much inspiration she takes from Serena Williams in particular. You know, she herself is the little sister in a tennis family. Her father, you know, sort of modeled his coaching style and his daughter's careers after the Williams sisters. You know, Serena Williams is a hero to her.
So I also want to take this conversation a little bit beyond tennis, because in some ways that's the piece of it we're looking at the moment. Well, let's go to Kim from Newton. Kim, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
I'd love to hear what your thoughts.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, this has happened to me so many times. I can't even tell you. This is not about tennis for me. And I grew up in Miami playing a lot of tennis, seeing a lot of tennis. This is about this man, this white Latin male saying to this black African-American female, how dare you talk to me that way? That is what this is about. And it has happened to me so many times when I have spoken up, and I'm a very outspoken person, to a reservations agent or on an airline, and a white male will come say to me, to my face, either Missy, they've actually said Missy, or, you know, I heard the way you're talking to him and, you know, dressed me down. And that's what happened. And I guarantee you there's a lot of other women who have felt that way. And whether they're women of color or just women that, you know, I'm a middle-aged woman, and this I've been talked to like I was a little girl. And it's because it's sexism, and it's men not accepting that a woman could be their equal or talk to them in a way that they didn't approve. That's what this was. It was a how dare you moment.
Thank you so much for sharing. Kim, Michael, did you look at it as a tennis moment, or is it a social moment? Is it both? How did it resonate?
It's both. I mean, the research is clear on this. You know, there's a study released by the National Women's Law Center in 2017 that showed that black girls in school are suspended at a rate five times that of their peers. There's a book by Andrea Ritchie called Invisible No More about police and state violence against black women and women of color. We know that there are dramatic and inexcusable disparities in the ways that women of color and black women in particular are disciplined by authority figures, whether it's in school, whether it's out in the street by police, or whether it's in a sports venue or on the field of play by umpires. So that is the broader context here. And Serena knows that. I mean, she's no fool. She's had many of the same experiences her entire life. And yet she's chosen to kind of thread the needle and make herself visible, make her race visible in a way so as not to upset the possibility of a broader feminist alliance with the women who are coming after her. It's incredibly politically shrewd, and it's a very humble and self-effacing move. And again, the grace that she exhibits under these circumstances, it's just rare.
One thing that you can see, I mean, that struck me just looking at this moment, if you look at it as a social moment, is that you can actually keep both things in your head at the same time. You could say, maybe she did break she broke her racket. That was an infraction. Maybe there was some breaking of infraction. It's nonetheless the case that for equivalent infractions, people of different genders or women and minorities are going to be punished more for the same kinds of infractions. So you can feel like, well, maybe she shouldn't have done it. And also, there's some bigger problem here.
Not only that, but the performance, right? The merely the performance of anger and aggression. When men do it on the field and play, it's read differently, socially speaking, by the media and by onlookers than it is when women do it. When men do it, it's a sign of their passion for the sport, their commitment to the team, their desire to win. When women do it, it's a sign that they're having a quote-unquote meltdown, right? It's just a terrible double standard. It makes no sense.
And yet it does seem like people are rushing to her defense. I mean, Soraya, did you feel in the stadium anybody a mass of people critical of our activity? Or it sounded from your description that
everyone
supportive.
Was booing Ramos.
Yeah.
To the point that, I mean, when that match ended, when Naomi, you know, served out the match, everyone was upset. And Yeah. And they were upset with Carlos Ramos. I don't think they were upset with Serena Williams.
And I think a lot of people watching, listening, were upset, are upset, continue to be upset. That's why one reason we're talking about it. That's Soraya Nadia McDonald. She's culture critic for The Undefeated. Her piece in The Undefeated is titled Serena Williams is Owed an Apology for Much More Than a Penalty. We've got a link on our website, radioboston.org. Also with me in studio is Michael Jeffries. He's Associate Professor of American Studies at Wellesley College. Thank you both for being with me.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Evan Horowitz. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.